All right. So we're in IPv6 world. Who are you? Tell us about yourself.
I'm Michael Sirkan. I'm a program manager in the transport group in networking at Microsoft.
Okay.
And we write the networking software or the stack for the Windows operating system.
Excellent. Now, I know there's a lot. You guys did basically a rewrite for Vista. That's what I hear, anyway.
Yeah, we completely rewrote the stack in Vista. There's a lot of the networking stack. There's a lot of improvements. There's a lot of performance improvements. So just doing things like file transfers will work a lot better on high latency networks and so on.
Okay.
So a lot of things that people, they might just see things look faster to them in their day-to-day usage. They might see some of that. In many cases, though, well, it should all be transparent to you. You shouldn't have to do much to see the benefits of it.
Okay.
And the one thing we were going to talk about today was specifically about IPv6.
Yes.
And IPv6 is not new. It's been around for a while.
Hmm.
We have it in, well, we shipped it in XP Service Pack 2 and in Server 2003 Service Pack 1.
Huh.
But it was off by default.
Okay.
So you have to manually go and turn on IPv6 on XP or Server 2003 if you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, most of the operating system components on XP and Server 2003 do not utilize IPv6.
Hmm.
And so IPv6 is a new generation of, or it's the next version of the Internet protocol. The Internet that everybody uses today uses the Internet protocol as its method of communication, of network communication.
Okay.
And the version of IP that of the Internet protocol that is used in the Internet today is actually version 4. So the Internet today is really based off of IPv4.
Okay.
And most people are familiar, many people are familiar with IPv4 addresses. They always be in a format of 4 octets with periods in between.
Okay.
So you'll see like a 10.10.10.
Sure.
.1 kind of a thing. And so people are familiar with that. And if you do support or if you call to get help with from your ISP or whatever, they'll often ask you to ping an address. And they want you to type in this IPv4 address.
Mm-hmm.
So the single biggest change with IPv6 is that the addresses are different.
Okay.
And they're very different. They're about 3-4 times the size of an IPv4 address, and they are alphanumeric. There's both characters and numbers in them.
Hmm.
So we're in a different world with addresses in IPv6, and that is actually the whole point of IPv6. The problem with IPv4 is the addressing space is limited.
Sure.
And with the incredible growth of the Internet and mm-hmm. of networking, we've been running into address problems
okay.
around the world. And so the industry, IPv6 is not a Microsoft thing. This is an industry standard that's evolved. The IPv6 standard has actually been around for many years. I remember I was working with IPv6 prototypes in 1998. So it's been around
wow.
for a while.
Well, then why doesn't anyone use it?
Well, it was understood that there were issues with the address limitations in IPv4 a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 90s, it was understood that there were limitations with that. But the industry got very creative with ways to get around the address restrictions. And largely, they created something called NATs, Network Address Translation Devices.
Hmm.
And so most people at home, when they connect their home to an internet service provider, these days it's very common to have a NAT as your hooked up. So what
okay.
you would see with a NAT, so if you're hooked up to a broadband or a DSL internet provider at home, you plug this router into the ISP network, and the router starts assigning IPv4 addresses to all the computers in your home. So this allows you, a NAT allows you to take a single address that's given to you from your ISP and then have a whole bunch of computers inside of your systems, inside of your home, run off of virtual addresses. So the ISP gives a single address to your router. 10.10.10.1, and then your router could give a whole bunch of addresses to the systems behind it. But now, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, it's all the same address. All they ever see is that address that was given to the NAT. And all of the systems behind the NAT, though, as far as they're concerned, they all have unique addresses. So that is why we went for so long without having to upgrade to IPv6. Even though IPv6 has been around for a while as a technology, it wasn't widely adopted. And you always have the chicken and egg problem. To deploy it would require a lot of infrastructure upgrades, and there was just a lot of reluctance from service providers and everyone else to go and change all of their hardware and so on. But slowly but surely, IPv6 is becoming more and more of a reality.
Okay.
And today, virtually all of the hardware, the routers from the major their major hardware vendors all support IPv6. That wasn't the case years ago, even 3 years ago. Most of the routers from the top, you think of the top router hardware vendors, mm-hmm. who make internet routers and the big gateways used, most of them, even 3 years ago, there was spotty IPv6 support. Today, almost all of them have really great IPv6 support.
Okay.
So it's almost now just a feature. When you go buy an enterprise router, you're almost always now going to be buying IPv6 as just a part of it. It's just another protocol that's supported in the router. So we're now seeing the infrastructure is getting more widely deployed. That's been happening. But the biggest thing that's happening in IPv6 is that we are turning it on by default in Vista and Longhorn Server.
Excellent. Now let's talk a little bit about what exactly that means. So I'm running Vista.
Mm-hmm.
You're running Vista. And IPv6 is enabled by default.
Right.
Okay. So what you're saying is that my IP address by default is going to be an IPv6?
So when you load Vista up, and you're running Vista, and you go look at your IP addresses, if you type ipconfig, you will now see not only do you have an IPv4 address like you normally would, but you would also see it show you an IPv6 address.
Excellent.
So most people in Vista will actually just start noticing they've got a lot more addresses. And some of their addresses will look very strange. They'll just see, what is that huge, long, alphanumeric thing?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, people are going to have memory problems. It's going to be much harder. Sometimes with IPv4, you could remember what the address was. This is with IPv6, the addresses are so large that I think most people, certainly myself, will have problems remembering them.
Okay.
Another thing I'll just mention is, I was just thinking of an interesting analogy of switching from IPv4 to IPv6.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost akin to switching area codes. Cities will add area codes sometimes because they run out of phone numbers and they need to have more phone numbers. But it's not pleasant. Nobody likes switching area codes, but yet it's something that has to happen because otherwise they'll run out of phone numbers to give people.
Exactly.
And so we've been running into problems with that with IPv4. Now, I mentioned that there's these NATs, that there are NATs that they get around problems with address crunches with IPv4,
mm-hmm.
but they create problems. They create problems in being able to do end-to-end connectivity. So if I want to access files that are on your PC at your home that are behind it when your machine is behind a NAT,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult to do that because how do I know what address to reach your system at? Your system really doesn't have a real address. It's this NATed address that doesn't really exist. So I can't get your phone number. I can't get your address.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I can really reach your system is if your system comes and talks with me first. And mm-hmm. and the routers in your home NAT will kind of keep track of in these complex tables of who initiated traffic and try to relay this stuff. But it makes connectivity really difficult. So the beauty of IPv6 is that it makes it possible now to have these end-to-end peer-to-peer sessions work very nicely.
Okay.
Now, with IPv4, people have made peer-to-peer work with IPv4. So when you run Messenger and you do instant messaging or you do a video conference with someone, mm-hmm. or you can have voice conversations with people peer-to-peer over the internet today over IPv4. And how does this work? Mm-hmm. The way it usually works is that it's actually using relays. Someone somewhere is hosting a server out on the main internet that both parties can reach. And then that server relays the traffic between the two parties. So although you're having a video conference with your friend,
mm-hmm.
in many cases that traffic is actually being relayed through a third party. And that's
so it's not really peer-to-peer.
It's not really peer-to-peer.
Cool.
And so the end-user experience might be peer-to-peer, mm-hmm. but there's actually costs involved in this. The software vendor often will have to host servers just mm-hmm. to handle these relays and so on. And this is really just to all get around the problems with IP addressing. So there's a lot of knock-on there's a lot of problems that get extrapolated because of the address crunch with IPv4. So there really is a need to move to IPv6. So as I said, in Vista, we have IPv6 running by default, and the stack will prefer it. So if you're in a local, just on a local area network, mm-hmm. Each Vistum system will automatically create its own link local IPv6 address. Hmm. It'll just assign itself one based off of the MAC address, which is a MAC address is just a... Every network card has an embedded code called a MAC address, and so they'll IPv6 addresses will often use a part of the MAC address as part of their address to have uniqueness. So anyway, if you have two Vista systems on the same LAN, and you just do a file share between them, you put in let's say you just try accessing the name of the other system. Mm-hmm. What will often be happening, in fact, the majority of the time, it'll actually now be doing that file transfer using IPv6 instead of IPv4.
Cool.
Now, it becomes a little bit more complicated when you want to do a peer-to-peer session with another system that's out on the internet. So, if I'm in my house and you're in your home, mm-hmm. and we want to do a peer-to-peer session, do a file transfer or something like this, it's difficult to do with IPv6 because we're each connected to the IPv4 internet. So that IPv4 internet is a blocker to allow IPv6 connections going between our machines.
Hmm.
The great thing about Vista, however, is that we have some transition technologies that we've built into the operating system.
Okay.
And one of a key one is called Teredo.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
And so Teredo allows IPv6 traffic to be tunneled inside of IPv4. So this allows two parties connected to the IPv4 internet to still be able to do communication over IPv4. So that Teredo does do this tunneling, but to actually establish the peer-to-peer sessions, Microsoft is hosting Teredo servers on the internet. So we are hosting servers that act as rendezvous or handshake mechanisms for each Teredo peer to find each other. And every Vista system is a Teredo peer as long as there is an application that is authorized to use Teredo on that system.
Hmm.
So I'll just draw a diagram.
Please.
So, we'll have PCA, and this system is running, this is a Vista computer, and this is in at one home, and it is connected to the internet. The IPv4, internet.
Okay.
And this is a NAT, an IPv4 NAT. And this system will have a NATed address, a 192.168.0.1. And there will have another system out here, another PC behind its NAT. And this is PCB. And it also has a 192.168.1.1. Now, these addresses, they cannot reach each other because these are not actually routable IPv4 addresses. These are NATed addresses. And so how can these systems do a peer-to-peer session? So the way Teredo would work is this Vista PC, PCA, we have Teredo servers out on the internet. So these are servers that Microsoft is hosting. PCA will send a packet out
to the Teredo server saying, here I am. An IPv4 packet. It sends an IPv4 packet to this Teredo server saying, here I am. The Teredo server sends back another packet saying, I heard you. And the address that I see you talking to me at is 17.1.1.2. Because this Teredo server sees the address that this NAT has for their main internet. And so when this Teredo server tells PCA that the address that it sees is the 17.1.1.2, now this PC can construct a synthetic IPv6 address, and it will create a Teredo address, a big, long Teredo address, alphanumeric address, that encoded, it begins with 2001, and all Teredo addresses always begin with 2001, and then it is encoded in that address. It does a translation of the IPv4 address of the NAT and the IPv4 address of the Teredo server. So that is all embedded in this Teredo address.
Okay.
So now if I give this Teredo, and then on top of that, this PC will now forever keep sending keep alive packets to the Teredo server every 30 seconds.
So in other words, though, we're generating a lot more computer traffic.
Yeah, they're pretty small packets. They're just 50 bytes.
Okay.
But this isn't any different than what any normal IPv4 NAT traversal technology does today anyway. When you install Messenger, this is what it does. I mean, if you think about it, when you install Microsoft Messenger today to be able to do peer-to-peer transfers, when somebody wants to, it's just sitting there in the background all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever somebody wants to talk with you, you get this little pop-up saying somebody wants to talk. Well, the way it keeps that heartbeat open so that there's a channel to receive the information that somebody wants to talk with you, Messenger today constantly sends keep-alives. That's what it does.
Okay.
So this is actually no different than what any other peer-to-peer software does today.
Okay.
So it's not creating more overhead than you would have with these other things. So PCA now is sending these constant keep-alives to the Teredo server. Now, if PCB gets the Teredo address of PCA, PCB can talk with PCA now directly over Teredo. And the way that would work is the stack, the network stack on PCB, will automatically parse out the IPv4 address of the NAT it needs to talk with and the IPv4 address of the Teredo server from the Teredo address. Because, as I said, the Teredo address encodes all of these other addresses inside of it. So this PC, PCB, now knows the IPv4 addresses to use. So PCB will immediately begin sending, it will send a request to the Teredo server that PCA is talking to saying, I would like to talk with PCA. The Teredo server now relays that message to PCA saying that PCB wants to talk with you, and here is the address of PCB. And now that PCA has the address of PCB, PCA begins sending keep alive, or we call these bubble packets, but it starts sending these bubble keep alive packets all the way to PCB. And that opens a port mapping now to allow PCB to start sending traffic directly back there. Now we have a peer-to-peer session working. And over this session, this is where the IPv6 traffic starts becoming encapsulated inside of IPv4. So if it was a video conference call, we now have the video traffic going over IPv4. Well, it's IPv6 going over IPv4. So this all seems very complicated. But from the end-user perspective, this all just happens under the covers and it's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
From the application perspective, the application just needs to know it wants to talk with IPv6. And as far as the application is concerned, is all it is doing is talking to IPv6. It doesn't realize there is any tunnels being made. It doesn't realize that the Teredo was sending keep-alive packets to some central server.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't know any of that. This is a very seamless model for applications to take advantage of NAT traversal. Because without Teredo, if an application wants to do NAT traversal, like Microsoft Messenger, Live Messenger, they need to build their own NAT-traversal technology. They need to go build their own central servers to be handling the rendezvous.
Mm-hmm.
They need to build all that infrastructure. Well, now, any developer that wants to can easily do NAT-traversal with IPv4.
Okay. So turn that light on. Thank you.
With, by just making sure their application supports IPv6.
Cool.
So it really simplifies the model. Now, as IPv6 is more widely deployed, and we get ISPs actually deploying IPv6 and provision. So your router in the future, your router will actually get an IPv6 address from the ISP. In which case, then Trada won't be used. The stack will automatically do the communication in native IPv6.
Mm.
So in Vista today, IPv6 applications can get an immediate benefit. IPv6-capable applications get an immediate benefit of having improved connectivity on IPv4 internets and networks.
Hmm.
It sounds a little counterintuitive, but IPv6 applications in Vista can have better connectivity on the IPv4 internet than an IPv4 application.
Wow.
Going further on that, from a software development perspective, you don't have to do much to make your application IPv6 compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Is all you have to do is make sure that you do not use old APIs that are IPv4 only. So as long as you're using just the newest WinSock APIs, for example, if you're using WinSock, and you're not hard coding in any address dependencies, then your application should be able to work fine with either IPv4 or IPv6. Some things you need to avoid are, for instance, building a user interface that asks for an address but has it formatted with the dots. So then now you've hard-coded in a dependency for IPv4 so that somebody can't even put in an IPv6 address if they want to.
Mm.
So you want to avoid doing that kind of a thing. To give some examples of some of the benefits of this, of Teredo, in Windows XP, there is a service called Remote Assistance that allows somebody to remotely access your computer. They can see your screen, move the mouse, and help you troubleshoot or find out what's going wrong with your computer.
Mm-hmm.
The Remote Assistance software team at Microsoft has found that in Windows XP, far less than 50% of the connection attempts succeed. They have a very success rate on Windows XP. And when they analyze that information, it turns out that the majority of the failures happen because one or more parties was behind a NAT. And NATs break peer-to-peer communication, unless you have a whole infrastructure that you built to handle NAT traversal. And Remote Assistance didn't build that kind of an infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Vista, Remote Assistance now can take full advantage of IPv6. It's IPv6 compatible. It's not an IPv6-only application. It's just compatible with IPv6.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're finding, in looking at the data from the Vista beta program, that they are getting very high connection success rates. And when they analyze that data, they're seeing the majority of the connections are going over Teredo. So that wasn't in this example, the Remote Assistance team is seeing much greater improved connectivity for their peer-to-peer application. And they didn't have to do anything special. They just made sure they supported IPv6.
Mm.
So
cool.
That's an example of how you can get some of the benefits of supporting this. And it isn't really all that hard to build an application that can work with IPv6. It's just you don't use old APIs. You don't hard code in address dependencies,
mm-hmm.
and there's some developer guidance that we have published that can walk through some of these things as well.
Okay.
Another thing that I'll mention about Teredo in Vista is that we have added in a security feature for Teredo, or a couple security features.
Good.
One security feature is that Teredo will not come up. Teredo will not start sending keep alives and bubbles and so on, unless there is a host firewall present on the system. So you have to have a host firewall that supports IPv6 running on your PC. So if you turn off the Windows firewall and you have no other host firewall running on your Vista PC, Teredo will not work. This is by design. Because when Teredo was functioning, it basically does open up your PC to the internet. And so we felt it was important to make sure there was a host firewall that was only allowing traffic in for the services that you wanted to allow traffic in for. Mm-hmm. So that's a security precaution we've taken in Vista. Another extension of that feature is that only applications or services that have an edge traversal option set in the Windows Firewall UI are allowed to receive traffic over Teredo.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an option, an advanced option in the Windows Firewall now in Vista for edge traversal. And you have to have set that edge traversal option for the application to be able to use Teredo. And this ensures that some application, that you don't accidentally open up a service to the internet that you didn't want to. Maybe you wanted to do file sharing locally, just on your local network, but you didn't want your file share to be accessible directly over the internet. Well, then you can rest assured that your file share will not be open to the internet unless you had set this edge traversal option in the Windows Firewall. Applications can set this option themselves through an API if they want to when they create an exception in the Windows Firewall. The Windows Firewall APIs have an option in them for setting the edge traversal flag. But if you do that, you should warn the users. You should always prompt the user saying that getting their consent that it's okay to allow your application to
be used on the internet. So Vista won't do that using UAC?
Well, UAC would be, it will prompt, whenever an exception in the Windows Firewall is created, you will get prompted for permission to create that exception. Mm-hmm. So that will happen all the time.
Okay.
But I'm saying that we recommend that developers actually also prompt for permission to allow Teredo to be used. So this is a separate thing because users might not realize that when they just clicked the consent to create the Windows Firewall exception, they were allowing this to be used over Teredo as well, which would mean that anybody outside on the internet can come in and access that service.
Hmm.
So an example is the remote assistance software in Vista. The remote assistance Vista software does automatically set the edge traversal flag for their exception in the Windows Firewall. And when you run remote assistance, it actually gives you a little window saying, if you click to consent to run remote assistance, you are agreeing to allow this to be used directly on the internet. And so then once you do that, then remote assistance will use Teredo if it can.
And, of course, it'll only let in trusted parties, right? I mean, you have to create a remote assistance session for it to be useful.
Remote assistance would have to be listening. So you have to have run remote assistance that it's listening on the box.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a Windows Firewall exception, as we were just discussing, or the host firewall would be blocking things. So only applications or services that have exceptions in the Windows Firewall and that have this edge traversal flag set will be allowed to receive traffic coming in over Teredo.
Excellent. Now, I mean, the other thing to think about is proxy servers are also useful for protecting, you know, if I'm a corporation, I don't want people to run IPv6 Teredo ever.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any sort of policy that can be set on the NAT to never allow this type of traffic to go through? I mean, I understand that could be challenging, but...
So for Teredo to work, Teredo requires that the edge device allow all outbound UDP traffic without any restrictions.
Okay.
Most enterprise edge firewalls do not work that way. So at Microsoft, on our Microsoft corporate network, it blocks Teredo. Not that they explicitly made a policy to allow it, but because they don't allow all traffic to just go out willy-nilly as it wants to, that ends up blocking Teredo. Teredo is a consumer technology. We don't intend it for corporations or enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
And in most enterprises, it won't work anyway because they usually have an edge firewall the edge firewall policies in most cases would be preventing Teredo from functioning. But you can easily block Teredo if you want to. You just need to set your edge device to prevent resolution of the host name Teredo.ipv6.microsoft.com.
Okay.
And if you prevent, because Teredo, the Teredo client, to send its keep alives, it finds out the address of this host name, and that's how it finds out to talk to the Teredo server. And Teredo will not function if it cannot resolve that name. So that's a very easy thing administrators could do to prevent Teredo from working on their networks if they don't want it to. There's also a registry key you can set to stop Teredo from functioning as well. Hmm. So an enterprise could publish a group policy setting that will prevent Teredo from running too. So there's multiple ways to ensure Teredo sure. won't work. But in most cases, in most enterprise networks, Teredo won't work anyway because their existing network security policies will likely be blocking it. So this is Teredo. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it can provide immediate benefits to users and to application developers in Vista. Mm-hmm. I'll give an example of something I've done at home.
Okay.
I installed the optional web service in Vista on a PC I have running in my house, so it's now a web server. And my home is behind a NAT. I have a NAT connected up to my internet service provider. But because I have Teredo on Vista, and I created an exception in the Windows firewall on my Vista PC to allow the web service to use Edge Traversal.
Hmm.
So Teredo is now running on my, because I did that, Teredo starts up and I now have a Teredo address on my PC at home, and I could find out what my address was by just doing ipconfig, looking at all the addresses. And I gave my brother my Teredo address, the Teredo address of my PC. And my brother is running a Vista beta as well. And he is able to directly come to my web server anytime he wants. And he can see pictures of my family or other things. So this is a very interesting application because typically it's very hard for people to host web servers in their home because the NATs make that very difficult to do. But here I've now set up a web server in my own home that's running that. So you can extrapolate that across almost anything at Vista. We have put a huge investment in making sure that all of the components in the operating system now support IPv6. So you could, if you wanted, set up a file share in Vista and make that available over Teredo.
Nice.
I'm not recommending you do that because there can be security concerns about allowing your file sharing to be allowed over the internet. But I'm just giving that as an example that end users could, there's a lot of power here. You can mm-hmm. now make any service you want available in Vista directly over the internet through Teredo.
Well, I mean, in the case of file sharing, I mean, I think a very legitimate scenario would be wanting to share out pictures without having to create a website, web service as you did, or I might want to share like this one folder on my system with my family. And basically they can access it directly. Now, I could set policies, security policies on that to only let requests coming from. So how would that work?
Well, now you're just working with normal file share security. You have to create user accounts and passwords and so on. And I stress this is not a – I was giving this as an example. This is not a recommended scenario because we have not built – there's no automatic authentication like encryption or so on that's going on with file sharing in Vista. You'd have to manually set up some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to do that – great, go ahead. But there's a reason we don't have this running with Teredo by default.
Sure.
Because unless you're comfortable with how to set up the credentials and the security policies for file sharing yourself, then we want to make sure this is not directly available. To give an example, a lot of people with file sharing, when they do peer-to-peer file sharing, they just use a guest ID and a null password, or they don't have a password, or a blank password, or they'll just use password as the password.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're doing that, you're really making it very easy for somebody to access your file share, and then if you make that available over Teredo, mm-hmm. then your system is really wide open for somebody coming into it. So these kinds of scenarios, they're very powerful, what you could do with Teredo, but you need to use some of your own judgment and your comfort level with the security policies to set up for yourself.
Very cool. Well, this is really interesting stuff, man.
Yeah, well, IPv6 sounds very dry, and it's and you can think, well, more addresses, why do I care?
Yeah.
But it really opens up a lot more kinds of scenarios than what you could do before. I mean, with just a NATed scenario, I mean, how can you reach the other person? If you know their NATed address, you can't do anything with it. It's nothing actionable. There's no way you can actually reach them. Now, to give a little bit of something that people can expect going forward, is we are working, Microsoft is working very closely with home router vendors to start supporting IPv6. And they, in fact, we have a logo program, a work for home routers, works certified to work with Windows Vista. And there will be a number of routers coming on the market in early 2007 of home routers that you'll be able to see in your electronics stores that will have this logo, works with Windows Vista. And one of the requirements is that they have IPv6 built into the router. And this will allow the router to do all of the IPv6 work and the encapsulation and decapsulation of IPv6, even on IPv4 networks. And just like we were talking about Teredo, the router can do this kind of work for you. And so then the OS doesn't have to do it. And also that would mean that any device that you attach to your home network could get an IPv6 address. Mm. A camera, if you have a camera that supports IPv6 or anything. And we're actually working with device manufacturers as well who are building IPv6 into their devices. So imagine this. You plug your camera into your home network. It gets an IPv6 address. You could now remotely out on the internet, when you're traveling, come back and access your camera or your home digital video recorder. You could because if you get an IPv6 address, that allows you to now come in, even if it's behind a NATed device.
Mm.
So there's a lot of very interesting things that can happen in that. And
absolutely.
So this is so. Do start looking for and demand routers with IPv6 when you're buying them next year in 2007.
Excellent. Now, I noticed in Vista you have the really cool Chess Titans game that comes with it, and you can play with someone. Does this use the Teredo server? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have not. It should. It should.
Yeah, it probably does.
Every application in Vista had to pass. They had every application had to do IPv6 testing.
Mm.
And so I haven't checked that particular application. I have not tried it myself to verify that that did work with IPv6, but in principle it should.
It should, yeah. And this is cool. Well, this is now, I think, you know, so let's do a quick summation of, just a quick summation of, again, what IPv6 is, why it matters, and what it means. Just really quickly, just because I like to, let's end it with a little summary, because we've gone all over the place. So, your quick little 3-minute IPv6.
So, IPv6 greatly increases the number of addresses that are available for use on the internet, for networking, by an order of magnitude, just phenomenally more addresses.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows every computer to have a unique address so that you can actually reach it for doing connectivity. Today, in today's internet, because of the use of NATs to get around the address crunch, peer-to-peer connectivity is broken in many cases. And it can be made to, peer-to-peer can be made to work through a lot of unnatural permutations that are difficult for developers, can be costly, and so then it's not used as frequently as it could be. In Vista, because we have IPv6 running by default and because we have these transition technologies like Teredo, it can allow IPv6 to be used in today's IPv4 networks, and it can take a lot. It takes all of the pain out of NAT traversal. It's easy for developers to take advantage of IPv6 by just making sure they do not hard code IPv4 dependencies into their application. It makes it easy for users to take advantage of direct peer-to-peer capabilities, even with out-of-the-box services in Vista, remote assistance, Windows Meeting Space, Windows remote desktop, you name it. You can do all of these things with Teredo and IPv6.
Excellent, man. Well, hey, thank you for your time.
It's been fun.
And this is clear, and this is good that we're doing this, because I know there's actually a lot of questions on Channel 9. It's clear there's some misunderstanding about IPv6. And I noticed that you actually are a Niner, which is awesome, and you were answering some questions.
It's a great tool.
Excellent, man. So, great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.